Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Tinfoil hat.
Hey, man, where's the truth there, dog?
Tinfoil hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
And welcome to another tinfoil hat. I'm Sam Tripoli. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You know who I am. You know what I'm here to do. We have a wonderful guest. I'm going to bring him in 2 seconds, but I just want to talk to you guys real quick. We got some great shows coming up. That's right. October 3rd at the Brea Improv. It is an evening of Sam Tripoli and his weirdo friends. That's right. Sam Tripoli, his weirdo friends. I got Kate Quigley, George Perez, the Smash Brothers, Corey and Chad, and then, of course, everybody's favorite, Mike Tully. It's at the Brea Improv. October 3rd, go to brea.improv.com and check that out. And then following that, super stoked, everybody. That's right. Tinfoil Hat with Eddie Bravo and Sam Tripoli are in Philadelphia at the punchlinephilly.com. That is a October 12th at 10 p.m. show. Tickets are actually moving on that. We're super stoked. And then October 14th, we're going back to the homeland. That's right. Going back to where I grew up, the 607, the 315. The Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night will be at the Funny Bone in Syracuse. Go to syracuse.com, syracuse.funnybone.com, and come see Eddie, myself, and guess who else is going to be there? My mom. You can meet my mom and ask her what happened. Why did it go wrong? I'm working on t-shirts, everybody. Check out the Patreon. We're putting out some great stuff. I'm going to start doing a whole bunch of live streams on there, so join that. It's patreon.com/tinfoil hat, and the t-shirts guys coming up. But guys, please support the show. The show is growing. We've got some amazing stuff. I guess some people want to come and work on the show, so I'm just going to get together a team to knock it out. I'm super stoked to have our next guest in. He's a wonderful comic. You know, a lot of times we hear the term alt comedy, and I feel like that was hijacked by comics who weren't good. They just weren't good. And then they're like, oh, I'm an alt comic. I'm like, no, you suck, okay? To me, alt comic is not trying to relate and just doing something totally different. And this next comedian is that. He's one of my favorite comics to watch. You could put him on after anybody, and he absolutely crushes it. He's so funny. He's got, hold on, let's see what he's got. He's got a couple things coming out that'll tell us about. You guys can see his special, which is called, what is it called?
Appealing to the Mainstream.
And then you got your special digital series, Pound House?
Sure, yeah, it was Pound House, yeah.
Pound House coming out. Please welcome Brett Weinbach, everybody.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, I love watching you perform.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, I think you're probably one of the most underrated comics out there.
Thanks.
But I do think everybody thinks you're wonderful. You're one of the few people like, oh, yeah, that guy's great.
No, well, that's nice to hear, yeah.
You know, I could put you on a show, you could file Rogan and just annihilate.
Sure.
You do. Where can they find your special?
Amazon Prime, Appealing to the Mainstream, Amazon Prime. It was used to be on CISO, and then CISO went away, and then it got re-released on Amazon Prime, so... Now you can see it. It's a lot easier to see it now. So see it there and, you know, write a review if you like
CISO
it.
CISO
like
was the – let's say this right now. CISO put out the best specials. It just – the problem was they wanted you to double dip, right? They wanted you to pay for Hulu and CISO when they should have just made CISO the adult version of Hulu. So you see Hulu, you go, you see the NBCs and all that stuff, the clean stuff. You want to get a little weirdo? Come over to CCell. Don't charge more. Just make it where you can see more adult content.
It's just hard to get a new digital platform off the ground, right?
For sure.
But it looks like most of these specials that were on CCell found a new home somewhere. So
you, Doug Stanhope, Joey Diaz. There's a bunch of great
Brody.
People. Yeah. Brody Stevens, mm-hmm. right there.
Yeah, no, there was.
Those are the best.
Yeah, so, you know, support us. Check out these specials. You know,
yeah.
Write positive reviews. So
you were telling us.
But may I interrupt? Brent also has a wonderful podcast on this network.
Oh, what is the podcast?
It's called Pointed Questions.
How often do you do it?
You know, whenever I can. There's no regular schedule, but. There's a Donnie Devanian, is like my sidekick on the show, and Aaron usually records all the episodes, and you know, we just interview somebody from a different profession or with an interesting story, and we just hear their experience about the story. It's just a bunch of questions, almost like an interrogation, right, Aaron? Didn't you say?
Very much so.
It's like an interrogation.
Is there good cop, bad cop on this?
It's like good cop, good cop.
Good cop, better cop.
Or something like that. Or maybe it's like
sweet cop. Sweeter cop.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what it is. It's just a lot of genuine curiosity. Just like, you know, sometimes we fixate on weird aspects, right, Aaron? But they're all coming from a place of sincerity, though. You know,
right.
Like we're interested in smells. You know, usually if there's there's like a job, like what's the smell going on there? But I'm really interested in what the smell is.
I absolutely love it. Now, you also are part of an amazing digital series.
Oh, Poundhouse you're talking
Poundhouse.
About.
Tell us a little about Poundhouse.
Yeah, you know, my friend Doug Lusenhop and I, we make this show. It's called Poundhouse, and we do have a new episode. It's been a while, but we shot a new episode this week, and we're going to unveil it on this tour that we're doing in a couple weeks.
Where's the tour going?
Tour is it's a mini East Coast tour. So the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn, New York. October 11th, that's the first date. October 12th is the Good Good Comedy Theater in Philadelphia. There's three shows, so, you know, pump it up. And
three shows in Philadelphia?
Yeah. I mean, it's a small space, but, you know.
In one day?
Yeah, one night. Yeah, there's all back-to-back.
Boom. What do you do, a midnight show, bro?
I think we're going to – the first show is at 7 or 7:30.
Is that noon?
Something like that. Yeah. It's a festival, really, you know. It's a two-man festival. The next night is at Atlanta, Georgia at the Drunken Unicorn.
Oh, that's a great name for an establishment.
Especially like a southern place, right?
Yeah.
On the, what is it, the 14th will be the Comedy Loft in D.C., Washington, D.C. So those are the four dates. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Now, how would you describe your style and how did you develop that?
Well, it's funny. You were mentioning alternative comedy. I guess one could sort of categorize as that, but I've never really even identified as such. You know what I mean?
No,
I started in clubs and I started, you know, but I always did everything. You know what I mean? Clubs or rooms that were outside of clubs, music venues, didn't really matter. It was always just, the goal is just to be a good comedian.
And you are a wonderful comic.
So,
you're one of the few guys I could watch all the time because I know there's going to be something new and so unique and. You never have to worry about anybody touching your style because it really is just your style.
Well, thanks. I mean, I'm happy to be categorized as alternative or club or whatever. You know what I mean?
What I meant by that is what people think alt is
it
actually is.
Right. I don't even see a difference, really, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I kind of feel like I see people in more what one would might think is alternative venues or whatever, and I think I could see this in a club.
That's where
it started, it was meant
to be an alternative venue, and then it got hijacked as an alternative style, and it got to where I always felt it was like, I'm not going to try to do anything relatable. And then it got to, hey, I don't even have, well, I'm not going to do punchlines.
Well,
and I'm like, well, that's not comedy.
I think that the idea originally was like, you know, they started to feel that having an act was like corny or something like that, or having jokes, prepared jokes, was something that felt, you know, disingenuous or something like that, or it was like artificial. And I guess the idea was, you know, what if you could do comedy that was talking about what happened that day, or you're making it up on the spot? And but you know, if you're gonna, if you come up with something even on the spot, you're probably gonna use it again, and it kind of defeats the purpose of what that mission was, I guess. But I guess that was the idea originally,
right?
It's just to be, do something spontaneous and something that was more real.
Well,
I
they
guess.
Hijack everything. Yeah. I look at Nanette and what's her face, Hannah Gadsby, and how she put out this special. And I did, I'm like, just put she's allowed to do whatever kind of entertainment she wants. Let her do her. And then these group of people just kind of use her special to spearhead this new post comedy thing, which isn't real, and they're just making it up, and they're like, not all comedy is meant to be funny. You're like, well, actually, that's not true. That
right. the definition of comedy is comedy. Laughing and funny. Exactly,
just like, then you're doing just one person show and all that stuff, and it's just like, I just feel like there's always this group of people who want to do it, who can't do it. So instead of actually working hard to be a part, the great example of this is like the people who are overweight, who go around trying to be part of this, the society to betterment of fat relations or whatever, where they're trying to convince people that, you know, to love fat people. When I'm like, well, you could actually, instead of spending all the time doing that, like try to work out maybe once in a while and not be fat. Not that if you're big, because I'm a thick dude, I'm out of shape, I'm not saying anything, but it always like, you know, it's just, it's people who'd rather work on getting people to come down to their level than actually work up to a higher level. And that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I think there's maybe an element of like anti-performance too, you know, that performing is corny or something like that. But any good comedian, be they alternative or, you know, not, is going to perform, you know, is putting on a show, you know, somehow, you know what I mean? And that's
for
an important part of stand-up comedy is performance. That's what makes it stand-up comedy, as opposed to just, you know, reading or, you know, just telling jokes, I guess. Yeah.
So I had you on the last Comedy Chaos. You were great. And I was like, I always like, how can I get him on the podcast? I'd love to have him on Tinfoil Hat. He's so interesting. And we kind of go back and forth. You were kind of talking about like your take on conspiracies is more about like you don't believe anything of either what the news is telling you.
Well, I'm skeptical of just all information, just because I just time and time and again, you just see news that's just not backed up with real facts. And, you know, or there are facts that exist, but they only people choose which facts to use to support an argument. And I don't know. I just don't believe anything, you know, especially these days when it's just there's so much, you know, online just information being put out, and there's, you know, there's all these different truths, you know, that, you know, I can't believe any of these truths, you know. I only just believe what's
question
real
everything.
What's real for me. Yeah,
question everything.
And nobody does question anything anymore. People just believe stuff. Anything. They believe anything without any substance.
A lot,
you know,
of identity politics involved and
you know, accusations and things, and there's not, people just believe things without any real digging, you know, or so I don't believe anything, and with that I'm just skeptical of everything, including conspiracy theories and, you know, and hard news. I mean, I'm skeptical of it all, you know, but I think it's all interesting
about it, right?
Yeah, it's all interesting. And you know, you were asking me if there's any like conspiracy stuff that you know, I'm kind of privy to or whatever. There is a thing that I had sort of been involved with at one point in my life that perhaps relates to the kinds of things that maybe you talk about. And I don't know if right now is the time to get into
it. Well, basically, why don't you tell, and then I'll do a little explaining about exactly what we're talking about. But you kind of came up to me and told me that.
Well, you were asking me, like, what's your conspiracy? Yeah, I was like, well, I mean, I was involved with remote viewing at one point.
Remote viewing. Yeah. I'm like, what? I just stopped in my tracks. remote viewing, which falls under parapsychology, which is, you know, clairvoyance, precognitive telepathy.
Telepathy?
Yeah, telepathy, sorry.
No, hey,
don't worry. I'm going to get destroyed by everybody, but don't worry about reincarnation, all that stuff. Kind of more mind, mental.
It's supposed to be like a scientific approach to accessing with your brain any point in time and space. And the conspiracy aspect comes into play when supposedly, supposedly the government funded research on this.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into all that.
Like,
for sure.
They supposedly used it in the military in the 40s and stuff or something like that. I don't know. I could be getting this
we'll
wrong a little bit.
We'll get through the whole history of that. But I just want to get, I just want to hear your story involved in it.
Okay. So for me, it was like this. I had this friend who took kung fu lessons from this kung fu master here in Los Angeles. And
a kung fu master? What style?
I don't know.
JKD? Just, Wing Chun?
Wing Chun?
Yeah.
He was this, I think he was an ex-military guy himself, the master. But this is in the late 90s. He was talking about how this guy, he taught these seminars or whatever. He ran these seminars on remote viewing, and he told me about remote viewing, which he took one of his workshops, and I don't know, it sounded interesting to me, and I was that younger then, and I kind of thought, okay, yeah, I'll do this, so I signed up for one of these classes. It was just a one-day thing. It was an all-day thing. It was in a...
You were going to be taught remote viewing.
I was taught remote view, yeah.
In one day.
I mean, I think there are additional classes you can take,
right.
But I just did the one class or whatever. And it was like a full-day class. It was like an eight-hour class or something like that, you know? So it was in a hotel, like a conference room at a hotel that, you know, he'd rented, I guess, or something. But this Kung Fu master taught us how to remote view and gave us a step-by-step booklet. I think I have the booklet somewhere, which gives you the step-by-step process on how to do it. And
how did the class start? Like, did you have to show up in your gi?
No, it was regular clothes, you know? That would be cool, though, if we had – there was, like, remote viewing gis. Imagine what would a remote viewing gi look like, too,
buns
actually.
On and stuff.
It'd probably just be like a Speedo with like a Speedo, and that's it, you know? A Speedo, and then something maybe it's some kind of bow tie. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, just like a Chippendale outfit, basically.
Little do we know, they were psychological warriors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the conspiracy.
Yeah.
Chippendales is actually. Is actually a remote viewing
for the U.S. military.
Yeah.
They're there. They're gay men who turn on women from the Midwest, but they're really there.
They're
for
really undercover. That's just a cover. That's just a cover.
Yeah. So you show up.
So, by the way, I've been to a Chippendale show before too. That's another story.
Of course you have.
I just thought it'd be funny. It was another story though. I actually went recently. Was it this year? It might have been this year. Last year was last year, yeah. I think it was last year. This year I went to the Chippendale show, actually, in Las Vegas.
Did you go by yourself or with
No, I went with a group of guys, and you know, it was a goof. It was funny.
Wanted to meet other clairvoyants, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I wanted to connect actually. I wanted to connect, yeah. I was trying to connect. I wanted to pick up some tips.
Yeah.
Not dancing tips, remote viewing tips.
That's my whole thing about just, if you were psychic, why wouldn't you just use it on hot chicks constantly?
Yeah, well, here, I'll explain why.
Okay.
I mean, this isn't even supposed – one would claim it. Remote viewing is not psychic powers.
Okay.
It's not mystical or any way. And I don't believe in that stuff anyway. And I don't even believe in remote viewing, even though I've done stuff and have seen interesting results.
Okay.
I still don't even believe it, even though I've seen results for myself, you know? Okay, so here's what you do. What it is you go through this – process, and I'll explain the process in detail if you want.
Please.
But you're meant to record through this process. You record not just sights, but smells and sounds and just anything that you can sense. You record these things, and you're not meant to. First of all, you're not meant to know what you're trying to access. One, and two, you can't start thinking. You're not meant to think. I almost see how it relates to martial arts in a way, is that there's something kind of meditative about it, and that you're not meant to think about what you're accessing, because once you start thinking, then you influence the data, and that it messes the data up, you know? So you're supposed to be collecting data through this process, and then after you're done with the process, you kind of review the data, and you can sort of start to put together...
What you viewed,
yeah. So... So one way that we would practice is, or the exercise we would do is, you know, you have a friend cut out pictures from a magazine or something, or, you know, pick a picture from a magazine and cut it out, put it in an envelope, and you put a what do they call it? A coordinate on the envelope. It was, you just put a number basically on the envelope, and that's supposed to be like the coordinate. And then you go, you put that envelope like in another room or whatever, and then you sit down and you write on a piece of paper the number that is associated with that envelope. And I've kind of forgot each step on how it goes, but I think the first phase or the first step is that you just do, first of all, you have to do, I think, a minute of just like kind of trying to clear your mind, not think of anything. You have to just, the emphasis is not thinking at all. And you're just going to experience stuff and record it as best you can. So the first thing is just an initial response. Like just, you know, maybe your hand just does just a line, or, you know, you just react in some way and you're just recording initial responses. And then you start to just record. The next phase is like recording anything you're just like trying to access smells or sounds or whatever, and you write those down. Then the third phase, I think, would be something like you start drawing a picture of what you're seeing.
So
you know?
Phase one is to meditate.
Well, phase one is sort of like, I think before any of the phases, you just sort of clear your mind, you know?
Okay, so you're sitting there and you're,
I think it's like you take a, maybe take a minute of just clearing your mind and not thinking, you know?
So you meditate, you're trying to think of nothing.
You're not even trying to think anything. You're trying to not think at all. You know, just be blank, you know?
So kind of like in Ghostbusters, they're like, don't think of anything. And then the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man shows up and you're like, I tried not to think and I thought of something.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
So you're trying not to, exactly, yeah. So then you, the first phase is just, you try to like let your hand just like move. Like you just try to let your body get, it's just like, it's hard to.
Just get taken over just, by
describe
the,
this.
The,
describe what this is like here. I'm just like. Something like that.
You've been taken over by the remote viewing spirit.
You're just trying to like, it's like, you're just trying to react. Your body, you just let your body react without even you controlling it.
Now,
you know,
is it an
like
energy
that.
Hitting you that makes you do that? Or is it just like you just react?
You think you're just trying to react to something and just get something on the paper that is going to be somehow tell you something later on, you know? I think the next phase is that you start, you know, trying to see things, or, you know, sounds, smells, you're recording those down. Again, you're not trying to think about what it is. You're not even trying to think about the sensations. You're just trying to simply record data. That's
now,
it.
Now, are you, the smells that you are trying to smell, the sounds, are they of what the picture represents, or are they of the room and what's in the room?
That's a good question. I don't even remember now, you know? Like, are you trying to access when they took the photo or whatever, or are you just simply trying to get the photo?
What it represents.
Or like, the cutout of the thing, right? I think, okay, so what you're really trying to do, I mean, these are just a practice, and I think this relies more on the visual senses, you know, when you're accessing a photo. But ideally, you're trying to access a point in time and space, a point in history, or something like that. And that's when you're really trying to like flesh out or gather the smells and the sounds and all that stuff, you know? So when it comes to this picture thing, I think it's probably more just based on the visual sense, you know?
Okay.
Of what the picture looks like.
So what?
Then the third phase is like you're trying to draw it out, you know, and see what that look, you know, what it looks like. And you get kind of, you kind of do like a vague drawing. Usually it's like a lot of lines and things. And so I remember this one time I did this with a photo. I didn't know what it was, but it was a cutout from a magazine. And I drew this kind of circular, it was like a circular kind of figure. And it seemed to have eyes almost, you know, or there was almost like, I started drawing a face, it seemed like, right?
North of the border. What the fuck is this? Oh, my God. Go on. Sorry, dude.
Oh, no problem. But it seemed to be almost kind of like a face or something like that. I didn't even know what it was. I wasn't trying to think about what it was. But, you know, after we were done with the session or whatever, you know, we got the envelope, opened it up, and my friend was kind of tripped out because it was actually a cutout of Jack Nicholson's face from The Shining when he says, here's Johnny, you know, coming through the wall. And it was that face. It was like, and it was very similar to what I had drawn out. And we were both kind of like, wow, that's that's kind of crazy, you know? But we both are, like, skeptical. You know, we're both skeptics,
so you
know?
So you did it, but you're still skeptical.
No, I'm still like, all right, maybe it was a coincidence, you know what I mean? Right. Or I still don't fully believe it. But but the truth is, I've had numerous things that have matched up with the picture, and it's kind of crazy.
You've done it multiple times.
I've done it a lot of times.
Like, more than multiple times.
After I took
several
the class.
Several times.
After the class, I kind of try to do it regularly, because the more you do it, the better you get at it, supposedly, you know?
Right.
And so the idea is like, you can never pick where you're going to want to go. You know, you can never say, okay, I want to go to, you know, the Gettysburg Address or
yes.
whatever. You can't be like, I'm going to go there and check that out. You have to have someone else pick the spots for you, you know? And because you can't know, once you start thinking about what this might be, or even if you start thinking, oh, I think that's a face, or I think that's a whatever, I think that's brown, what else is brown? Your thoughts will influence, they're going to taint the data,
right.
and then you'll start recording the wrong stuff, you know? And
so
you can't know, you can't think, you can't know what you're trying to access. You have to have someone else working with you on doing, you know, when you're doing this whole process, right? So supposedly, you know, this is an ability, and it's apparently just using your brain and like it's not mysticism or anything like that. It's not spiritual. It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be grounded in science, apparently. You know. You know. Again, I'm skeptical of all of this. I don't believe it really. But you know,
how can you be skeptical if you could do it? Are you skeptical of what they're saying? It's science. Could it be some kind of you know, what are we talking? Parapsychology, where it's like this mental thing, like, you know, ESP or something like
that? I guess I just don't
have you ever had that power of ESP, like, no. Reading people's thoughts?
No, nothing.
At all.
No, I mean, I think anyone can kind of know what someone's thinking, you know, just based on, you know, just, yeah, a sense of feeling.
Doing this if you had this ability?
Oh, here, I'll tell you why I stopped, actually.
Okay.
So I was delivering pizzas around, like, I don't know, maybe a year later or something like that. And, you know, here in Los Angeles, I was in college and, you know, during the summers I would deliver pizzas. Anyway, whatever, it doesn't matter. But there was this other pizza delivery guy who knew about remote viewing, and we were, like, really connecting on that, you know? He had been to a Chippendales show before, and no, I'm just kidding. But we were connecting on this remote viewing thing, and we were talking about it or whatever. Then, like, a year later, that guy called me, and he said that he found out that people who were doing remote viewing were getting brain tumors or something like that.
What?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't believe any of this, but like, he said they were getting brain tumors, and I kind of did get a little bit kind of turned off a little bit from that, and I stopped doing it after that.
Oh, yeah, I would too.
and
maybe that was just misinformation, that they didn't want you to do this. They found out you had the power, and they told you not to do it.
I don't know. I mean, but by the way, this isn't even about – nobody has any special powers when it comes to remote viewing. Anybody could do it. It's just all about, you know, you have to have a disciplined mind to not think and just record data. That's like your – that's the whole thing. Anybody could do it if you – with the right training.
Why wouldn't everybody do it if you could do it?
Because nobody knows about it, supposedly. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think it's even real. But supposedly – they did use it, and the government funded it, supposedly.
Yeah.
And they funded research on it.
Yeah, I want to get into some of that.
And then they used it in the military. And apparently in the 40s, they were having military people do it in the 40s, supposedly.
Well, you know, there's a bunch of programs out there that you could look into that involve this type of remote viewing. One of them is called the Stargate Project. You can find this on Wiki, obviously. Stargate was a code name for a secret U.S. Army unit established in 1978 in Fort Meade, Maryland. The Defense Intelligence Agency of California is to investigate potential psychic phenomenon in the military and domestic intelligence applications. They basically wanted to see if they could figure out how to do remote viewing, dude. And you can see how that might be involved, because remote viewing is the practice of seeing impressions about a distant, unseen target, purposely using extrasensory perception, ESP, or sensing with the mind. And it's very similar to clairvoyance, man. So you could see how, like, the government would love to be able to use this stuff.
Sure.
To
spy. By the way, you can also apparently access the future.
What?
I don't know. That's what I... That's,
you're that, so funny.
It's no, I know. It's ridiculous. I don't believe it. I don't even think...
Why
you know,
won't you believe it? Why well, wouldn't you
think
believe it?
Because I don't think the future has happened yet. Yeah.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, a lot of people say there is no future. There's no past. There's
or,
only right now.
Right. Or, yeah.
You know?
Right.
I mean, what's your thought? I mean,
well, you know, who knows? I mean, it gets into crazy stuff about the universe, which I used to think about a lot, but I don't really think about it as much anymore. But there's just things that are beyond my comprehension, and so I stopped thinking about them, you know, at a certain point. But, yeah, like maybe the past is happening right now, you know, and that's how you're able to access it. And, like, the way that, you know, space is time at the same time or something like that, you know?
The Stargate Project was primarily involved in remote viewing, the ability to see psychically see events, sites, and information from a great distance. The project was overseen until 1987 by Lieutenant Frederick Holmes Skip Atwater, and an aide and psychic, dude, this is great, headhunter to Major General Albert Substandine, and later president of the Monroe Institute. The unit was small scale, comprising of about 15 to 20 individuals that ran out of an old leaky wooden barracks.
I mean, this kind of sounds crazy, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like, you believe this? I mean,
why? I 100% believe that the Army tried to do that.
Uh-huh.
I 100% believe that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That they would give it a shot. I mean, we're going to get in some stuff later on.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's like, it's pretty much true, or at least they're trying to do it.
Right.
This makes sense. They would throw some dudes out in the woods, in some shack, and just have them all just sitting there like, trying to see shit somewhere else.
Yeah.
I just don't know. So someone else has to set something somewhere?
Someone has to set up the target or whatever. Someone else has to set up the target. You can't set it up yourself because you can't know what you're trying to target because, you know, you're going to influence your own thoughts are going to influence that, you know?
And, dude, if this all basically breaks down, it's kind of like clairvoyance, you know? Do you believe in clairvoyance at all?
I mean, not really.
Nothing?
You know? I mean,
ESPN?
I mean, I believe
ESPN,
in...
ESPN.
ESPN. Do you believe in ESPN?
Yeah.
Do you have the power of ESPN?
I'm on fire with butchering everything.
Actually, I like ESPN a lot. That's I mean, as a in the context of, you know, psychic sort of context. But, I don't really. I mean, I believe you can. Yeah, you know, I believe in picking up on energies. You know,
right.
Like I believe, you know, people have an energy. You can kind of pick up on like people's moods, obviously, and there's tells in their facial, you know, nuances and things like that. But you know, I mean, I don't really believe in magic powers. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I mean, I do not. I mean, I don't. Not really. I don't believe in anything I don't believe in ghosts or anything
spiritual.
You don't
believe in ghosts?
No.
Aren't you Filipino?
Yes.
You guys totally believe in ghosts. There's so many ghosts in Filipino. We did a whole episode on how you guys believe in voodoo and all that stuff. You're like an alt Filipino.
Yeah. 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 I'm alternative comedy, alternative Filipino. That's funny. I don't believe in anything paranormal.
Well, I can't believe you don't believe in any of it.
I believe people's, like my sister believes in stuff like that, you know. But I just
is it that you're a number cruncher? You got to crunch the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I just have to at one point just have to decide what's true for me. What's the best truth for me to go off of, you know? And that's it. You know?
I believe in psychic shit. I believe in outside yourself stuff. Clairvoyance, man. I believe in that. What is clairvoyance? Okay, clairvoyance is a French word for clear vision, which describes the psychic ability to see pictures and visions in their head, and to see their things beyond the normal senses.
Well, okay, hey, here's the thing. I do believe in energy.
Okay.
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 I believe in energy. Okay, energy can maybe be is in maybe another word for ghosts. Maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's possible if you're your energies can, like I think you know Hadoukens, you know, from Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
I think that's possible, maybe.
To shoot a fireball?
Yeah, maybe. But like not you wouldn't see it visually though, you know, but I think an invisible fireball, I think you could shoot one, maybe.
We'll
get
into that, too.
Maybe.
That has something to do with men who stare at goats. But real quick, what can clairvoyance do? When we think of psychic, a man who is a man or woman who overcome by visions of the past or the future comes to mind. We call these psychic clairvoyance, and it's often portrayed as a curse or affliction that the psychic has no control over. A clairvoyance is someone who can see visuals regarding your life or either the past, present, or the future. They can see people in your life. They can see things in metaphors. Often clairvoyance, we see movie clips are abstract things that release from you or your subconscious. Now, I have a friend of mine, I've talked about this on past episodes, where you could put like a penny in their hand and they could tell you where it came from. They could put anything in their hand and they could tell you where it came from.
Oh, you had them as a guest?
Yes, I have visions all the time of future.
Now, wait, that person had a guest. You had that as a guest.
I have a cousin.
Oh, you have a cousin?
A cousin who you could put anything in his hand and he'll tell you the history of it.
And it's real?
Yeah.
I mean, you were able to fact check it and stuff?
Yes.
So, wow. And so he closes his eyes.
Well, he'll put it in his hand and he'll tell you.
He closes his eyes. You'll put a penny in his hand.
Yep.
He'll tell you what year the penny came out.
Yep.
Really? And you tested that multiple times?
Not multiple times. One time.
Oh, he got it right?
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. And then my cousin's, his sister told me that he's done it his whole life.
Huh.
And then, you know, I can predict future events. You know, it happens all the time.
Oh, you?
Yeah, I could.
So you have power.
I have a little bit of vision, yeah.
You should try remote viewing. See what happens.
I mean, more than willing to try.
I don't know if you're concerned about getting a brain tumor or not, but
fuck it. At this point, it seems like it's kind of crazy out there. I'm open minded to everything. There have been some very clairvoyances happened in the Bible before.
I bet you nowadays you can find the whole step by step protocol on the internet on how to remote view. I mean, I took this class when the internet wasn't used as much. You know what I mean?
But, right.
Like, you know,
back in the day, right?
Yeah, you could check it out.
I might try it, man.
I mean, there's websites that show you how to do it now.
Maybe you and I will do a Patreon episode and we'll try to do some remote viewing.
Oh, I could set up some targets for you.
Yeah, let's do it. We could totally do it. You see clairvoyance.
I'll have you target the Chippendale show I went to last year. See what the smells and sounds were.
That grinding, that's how they get the energies going.
You know what's funny about the show is that there was all these, you know, it's tons of women actually. It's
of
actually
course.
It's crazy actually.
And they go nuts.
But they're actually like really attractive women that go to it actually.
But there's some, yeah, but, for sure.
And so the women come come out and they're doing all this like grinding and all these sexual moves
Steve
and stuff.
Steve Burns'
and
bit is funny where like male dancers, like they always dance. They always have a job. Like they're working. Like I'm working on construction. I'm a police officer.
Oh, every single
women love men with jobs.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They do every single job you can think of. It's so funny. That's like where you would think it was like of a macho kind of guy.
Right.
But it's funny because they were, you know, acting really sexual to all these women and stuff. And then they came up to our group and just to include us. Okay. So just imagine he's like doing all this, you know, shaking
Maybe
his butt and
gay.
Stuff like that. I don't think they did, actually, but they came up to us and they're like, hey, guys, thanks for coming out. And they shook our hands. And they were like doing all this, rubbing their bodies on these women and stuff. And they came up to us like, hey, guys, thanks for coming out. And they shook our hands and stuff. It was just so funny how that was their way of, you know, including us into the interaction.
They started high-fiving you guys.
It was even more professional than that. They were just shakes, you know, which was just funny to me. That was just really funny. We got a kick out
Psychic
of that.
Psychic strippers.
I'll tell you this. It's a crazy experience. It's really visceral. It's nuts. It's pretty entertaining, actually, because there's so much going on. The reactions of the crowds, too. The whole thing is crazy. It's funny, too. It's pretty funny, too, actually. Anyway, whatever. That's
back to clairvoyance, man. You can find clairvoyance in the Bible.
Wait, hold on. About this future thing, you've sensed things from the future?
Yeah, for
like
sure.
What?
I have predicted events. I've told people what's going to happen to their careers. I've told them I just see events happening. I know how it's going to play out. I basically crunch the numbers in my head of past and how it plays out in my head. Am I 100% always correct? I am not. But I am right a lot, enough to talk about it. It's like kind of conspiracies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like people talk about, oh, why are you just like conspiracy because you just like to be like weird. I go, no, it's something I'm interested in. And I wouldn't do it if I wasn't, if I was more wrong than I was right. If I constantly was wrong, I wouldn't be doing this show. I enjoy this topic, but I'm more right than I am wrong.
See, you're clairvoyant.
There's a little bit, yeah, I'm sure. I'm not as clairvoyant as some, but I am clairvoyant. I do predict.
Have you ever gone to a psychic?
No, but I want to.
Uh-huh. What do you think about...
Oh, real quick.
Yeah.
So I had a co-host on here. We had these two psychic ladies on. They read my palm, and they said, somebody is going to betray you in the near future. And they got, boom, and then... He just fucking quit 2 weeks ago. It's weird, dude. It's weird. Do you remember that, Aaron? Do you think that's weird?
I think it's weird, but I don't think it's... I think things might have been brewing a little before that.
Okay. I want to get back in the clairvoyant.
Maybe they sensed already that he was like not really fully invested, you know, on that episode. And then we're like... Yeah, he's going to be gone soon.
So you believe everything is what it is.
I mean, look, I'm open to anything is possible, you know, but I got to choose something at one point to be my truth, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
usually
you did psychic. You did.
I know. Isn't that
so
crazy?
Why would you accept it?
And I actually had some crazy results, too.
Right, more than one.
And yet I'm still skeptical of it, though.
Why?
It just doesn't. It just seems too crazy.
Have you been hurt? Guys, we find clairvoyance in the Bible. There are examples of clairvoyance going back to biblical times. Abraham, Jacob, Daniel's, all prophets, visions of the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Joseph, Peter, Paul, all striking visions of the future. The New Testament also has a book based completely on prophetic visions. The Book of Revelations by John is a modern light. He is perhaps the first true clairvoyant in history. Past people who have been clairvoyant. Joan of Arc, a.k.a. Maid of Orleans, had clairvoyant vision showing her defeating the English during the Hundred Year War. These visions helped her, the teenager, lead the French army to defeat the English. Then we got Nostradamus. What do you think of that? Nostradamus predicting the future.
I've heard the stories.
Do you believe any of it?
I mean, I just, you know, I hear it.
Perhaps the most famous clairvoyant the world has ever known, Nostradamus, was a famous seer, an old term for clairvoyant.
Hey, by the way, maybe there are legitimate psychics out there, clairvoyants, you know?
Yeah.
But there's so many fake ones that, you know, it's hard to be, you know, it makes it easier to be skeptical of it all. You know what I mean? There's just so many people faking it, you know, and trying to, you know, just make money.
There's
basically.
Always going
to
be fakers, dude. Yeah. So here's some of the things that Notre Dame has predicted. The Great Fire of London, the French Revolution, the rise of Napoleon, okay? Louis Pasteur, Adolf Hitler. He predicted Adolf Hitler. Here's his prediction. From the depths of the West Europe, a young child will be born of poor people. He who by his tongue will seduce a great troop, and his fame will increase towards the realm of the East. And it keeps going. And then there's even more, dude. It gets even crazier. He predicted
super
the second,
specific, by the way.
This is Nostradamus?
Yeah. The death of the Kennedys. How about that one? A great man will be struck down in the day by a thunderbolt. And an evil foretold by a bearer of petition. Another falls at nighttime. Conflict at Reigns, London, and pestilence of... I fucked that whole thing up, but you know where I'm going with that. What do you think of that?
Still super specific.
You're such a...
Do your listeners get on his case ever?
Yeah, they always get on his case. Uh-huh. But they're going to kill me for my reading today. Death of Princess Di predicted that. What do you think of that? And 9/11 they predicted too. What do you think of that?
I don't think he did.
Why? Okay.
I've heard the quatrains. They're so vague. It's like...
Volcano fire from the center of Earth will cause tremblings around the new city. New York, new city. Hello? Okay,
he could be talking about Pompeii.
Right, you know that's kind of funny though, right? Like you're laughing, like you know it's like kind of a stretch in a way, right? Or there's like you're finding the coincidences, right?
Zip it. Listen to this. In the year 1999, in 7 months, the sky will come with great king of terror, bringing back to life the great king of Mongols before and after Mars to reign by good fortune. Come on, dude. Come on.
So Genghis Khan came back?
Okay, dude, you know what? I'm done with you, bro. If you don't want to believe this shit, you don't have to.
In July of 99?
Yeah, and then seven months forward, dude, which is getting close to 2001, if you think about it.
I want to see this. I want to see your cousin in action.
Yeah, maybe when he comes in town, I'll call you.
I mean, I got to see that. It's like... You just put a coin in. I want to see how many coins you can get, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, how many times you got to do it before you're like, wow, that really makes
sense?
If he does it
three times in a row, I'm sold.
Okay.
If he guesses the right year three times in a row, I'm totally sold.
Okay. All right. I'm liking your – so he has to do it three times in a row.
Sure. What, you think – what, you don't have faith in that?
I do have faith. I believe my cousin could do anything I want, anything he wants.
Or, you know, it would be cool. I'd like to bring a personal object of my own and see what he has to say about that.
Okay. Is this, are you laying down the law, bro?
No, I'm just curious. Bro. I mean, no, actually, honestly, like, I want to see the stuff.
You want to believe.
I would like to see it. I'm interested. I'd like to see a ghost situation, actually.
Have you ever been to the Comedy Store?
I've heard that it's, you know, it's haunted.
There's a lot of psychic.
Oh, I've heard some stories about, you know,
for
stuff
sure.
in there, yeah.
Like
you had some crazy stuff happen to you there?
Yeah.
Oh, like what?
I've had basically something started the faucet turning and the water coming out. And then I saw a shadow move.
Like where?
The faucet thing happened at the Comedy Store in the green room. I was sitting there getting over my set, and all of a sudden I heard something go, and the water in the shower started going. I turned around, nobody was there.
Uh-huh.
And then the other time I'd gone to the lobby, and I left the lobby, the lights were on. I came back a couple minutes later, lights were off, and there was just this thin line of light. And I couldn't find where the light source was coming from. Because there's nothing, there's no lights on. The only light came when if you've been in the main room lobby at the Comedy Store, was way down the steps. It was impossible for it to be there. And I was looking, and it was the brightest of white lights. And I just saw something pass right in front of it. And I freaked out.
Uh-huh.
And I ran.
You ran?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah.
You're not... If you saw a ghost, would you hang out and talk to it?
Well, I don't know. Wouldn't you? I would imagine you would, actually, right?
No, I had a chance and I ran.
My sister totally believes in ghosts, has had some interesting stories, and I believe she believes that, you know?
Right.
She's had interesting, you know, Ouija board stories.
Right.
And...
So your sister's had some weird shit happen.
Yeah,
you've done remote viewing, and you still don't believe it.
Well, I just don't. It just doesn't fall into my general rubric of, you know, logic, you know, or whatever, you know.
Well, I mean, like, are you just afraid of it? Does it scare you?
No.
Are you scared of it? Because it's just like it might be something that you can't control.
No. If I believed in ghosts, it would be another part of it. It'd be just as much as something else that I can't control. It would just, you know, no, it's not about control. You know. But, you know, I would like to see a ghost situation, actually.
So,
kind of.
Yeah. Well, let's go ghost hunting then.
I mean, I've tried to do the Ouija board, you know, and doesn't work.
Now, we're talking about clairvoyance, you know, ESP, all that stuff, you know, which could be very powerful if harnessed. You know, the U.S. government could definitely do something with this. I mean, we've had basically like the
movie. If that's true that they funded that, that's crazy.
Well, what about the Men Who Stare at Goats movie about that group that basically... tried to basically be able to use their mental powers as a weapon.
What was that movie?
The Men Who Stare at Goats. It was a 2004 nonfiction work concerning the U.S. Army's exploration of new age concepts and the potential military applications of the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
The title refers to an attempt to kill goats by staring at them and stopping their hearts.
That's interesting.
You know, it's just like, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's like almost like you were talking about earlier about the energy force. Bam.
Yeah, right. The Hadouken, right? The fireball. Yeah. I do feel like maybe that you could kind of like concentrate the energy and throw it at somebody and hit them with it. It wouldn't be as like flamboyant as it is in the video game, you know? But I mean, but it's...
It wouldn't be as flaming gay. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I think you could maybe hit somebody with energy in a way.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe that's possible, you know? But by the way, you know, how come this? You know the Amazing Randy?
Yeah.
So how come nobody has ever been able to get I don't know what his award money now is. Maybe it's up to $1 million or something like that. He's, you know, to anybody who can prove to him that the psychic powers or, you know, telekinesis or anything like that can work legitimately. No one has been. He has a prize. He'll award this. It started out as $10,000. I think it's grown to some really huge amount now. How come no one has won that money from him yet? Yeah,
that's a great question. How come? Why don't you go do your remote viewing? You've done it and get that $1 million.
Well, I just, you know, I don't think he would.
If I did it like 3 times, I'd be like, "Where's that $1 million? Let me go show you how this."
By the way, it doesn't always work too. It's kind of like the. What was the thing? You know, sometimes it's just doesn't match up with the picture.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes it does. You know, some I don't know.
Well, I mean, let's not just stop right there with this men staring at goats. Over time, you know, black money, you know, all these dark arts, military people with their black ops and all that black money that they get. There is believed to be a weapon out there called the Voice of God. And it's basically a long-range acoustic device.
Hmm.
Basically, it's been theorized that during the Gulf Wars and all that stuff, that they actually used the Voice of God weapon in Iraq, which was they could put sounds in your head, specifically. They could shoot right into you, right into me. And what the rumor was is they were going to use that, and they were basically acting like they were Allah. And they were going to put voices in people, all these terrorist heads, to make them go crazy on the other terrorists.
Oh, like put voices in their head, kind of.
Be like, you know, this is Allah. You need to take out these guys. They are not pure to the Islam. And then,
and they're meant to be like high pitched, so you don't hear it with your like normal.
You would hear the voice inside your head, but no one else would.
Uh-huh.
It was specific to you.
They. It's like a some telescopic sort of projection that goes towards you.
Yep.
Interesting.
It appears that some troops in Iraq were using spoken opposed to screeching LARD, which is what we talked earlier, long-range acoustic device, to mess with enemy fighters. Islamic terrorists tend to be superstitious and, of course, very religious, and the LARD can put the word of God in your head. If God, in a form of voice that you can only hear, tells you to surrender, run away, what are you going to do? You know?
So, yeah, wow.
Right? So then we go to, now let's do this application, this long-range acoustic device. Let's apply it to here, you know, at the United States. I mean, we have seen mass shootings in this country. This is going to get a little darker. We've seen mass shootings in this country. And what do all of these shooters, not all but most, say? That they hear voices. They hear voice to the point, right? If you go and Google mass shooters hear voices, I mean, mass shooter after mass shooter after mass shooter all come up that they heard voices before they went out. This guy in Parkland said he heard voices. This guy at this airport in Florida said he heard voices. DC shooter says he heard voices.
So the idea tomorrow, is that...
Toronto mass shooter says he hears voices.
So the idea is that the this weapon, the voice of God or whatever,
yes,
is being used by the government to do these mass shootings?
Well, if here we go into the conspiracy world.
Right.
Which is like, have you ever read the book Behold the Pale Horse by Bill Cooper? Mm. Bill Cooper, written very early in the early 90s, said he predicted that they would try to use school shootings to get people to give up their rights to guns. So you hit the most vulnerable, people's children. They freak out and they demand that the school shooters, that we give up our First Amendment because the crazy people are getting guns and they're shooting up everything. And lo and behold, we've seen that over and over again. So, it's like, who wants to walk into a school all the time and shoot people? It's mentally vulnerable people. We have seen it over and over again. This kid in Parkland, he was part of a very controversial program that took like at-risk kids and tried to basically help them. But there's all this view that maybe it wasn't that. They were MK-altering these kids.
Hmm.
We've seen it over and over again. You know, I mean, just kids going in and people hearing voices over and over again. I mean, if we did the voice of God with terrorists in Iraq, why couldn't we do it here?
What do you think? You think they're using that weapon?
I 100%.
Oh, so you think the mass shootings are a result of somebody using that weapon?
I think they are false flags. Yes, I could break it down with you. There are so many connections to the CIA and the FBI over and over and over again. And why not get these kids to do something? I mean, they all say that they've heard shit constantly. Radio frequencies, and the more and more we hear about it, you know, unclassified documents from the U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command received via the Freedom of Information Act back in 2016. The document is dated 1988, over 15 years ago. One of the main topics regarded the radio frequency direct energy. The document discussed the incapacitating effect and microwaving hearing. Basically, they're talking here about hitting you with this thing. You know, from a radio station, you'd turn into a single person into like basically a radio station.
So who do you think is using the weapon to do this?
The voice to skull device. Here's some is email them talking about it. Who do I think is doing it?
Yeah, and why do you think?
I think they're doing it to make us feel unsafe.
Oh, so the government?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They get everybody to fight with each other and go crazy. I mean, like, you can sit down and talk the connection that every one of these shooters has or people at the school have to the CIA. That David Hogg kid going around, his father is CIA. His father received $350 million for his company that created nothing. They actually they've created no nothing.
So what's the goal to make people scared, though? Like, to
give up
unsafe?
Guns.
Oh, to give up guns.
Yes.
The government wants people to give up guns.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Because working out great, because sales go up after everyone.
As it should. I mean, like, dude, let's take a look at some dynamics where we have people who have guns and people who do not have guns. Let's go to the North Dakota oil line protesters. Cops had militarized cops showed up with guns. The Indians had no guns. The Native Americans, had no guns. No guns at all. Let's look at Israel versus Palestine. One side has all the guns. The other side has no guns. How's that going? How's rocks versus tanks going? I mean, it's just... So and I talk about this all the time on the show. Aaron, you hear it. Our army is the stormtroopers for the international bankers, and that is not code word for any one religious group. It's of all denominations. And at some point, people are going to get tired of our military being used for banker wars. And at that point, people are going to have to rise up, man. You don't want to have one side have all the – you know, it's like when we constantly hear these people complaining about, cops shooting unarmed people, right? We hear that all the time. And then these are the same people telling us that we should give up our guns and that the only people who should have guns are the cops. It makes no sense.
So what do you think about this, and what do you think should be done?
What I think should be done? I think I mean, like, ultimately what I think should be done is a fucking complete and overhaul of our intelligence community.
How do you do that?
Have somebody, you know, dude, someone needs to go in, take it over, and get rid of the rot. And that's slowly happening. And that's a whole nother episode. It's slowly happening that people are going in there. I mean, if you look at what's going on right now, I know you don't follow the news, but we've had two FBI, heads of the FBI step down within a year and a half. We had the CIA guy step, the head of CIA step down. It's happened over and over and over again. There is a flushing out of this rot that's going on. And it's not happening as fast as some people want, but it is happening. And you're seeing it with the FISA report, like with the, you know, basically the FBI and the CIA, Hillary, all wiretap Trump. And I know Trump is not a favored guy by some people, and particularly in Hollywood, but that is illegal. It is Watergate on steroids. And we're starting to see it. So what happens is now we can go back to 9/11. You want to take a look at 9/11? Who greenlit all the hijackers? John Brennan, the CIA guy. I mean, like, he let them all in. Who ran the, you know, NORAD, which is the North American Air Defense System? Who's in charge of that 9/11? Dick Cheney. I mean, like, these are all facts. They're not like craziness. You just got to look it up, man. And it lets you know that it was an inside, I don't know, but it was a chaperone job for sure.
Chaperone.
And you look about what they get from it, man. They got Homeland Security was created out of it, okay? Wiretapping of U.S. citizens, like at the highest level possible. I mean, everybody loves Obama, but he basically headed the largest surveillance of Americans in the history of this country. And he's no worse than anybody, but he's just as bad as everybody, meaning they're all on the same par course, man. You know, whether it's Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump, it's all like, you know, but there is something going on between Trump and going on between, you know, the mainstream media and the intelligence communities. And it's used over and over again, man. We just see shooter after shooter talked about hearing voices. And if we have this capability, this voice of God, why couldn't they use it on these kids, these very suspected kids? And then on top of that, why don't you put all the pharmaceuticals and video games that they play together? And now there's this correlation between pharmaceuticals, antidepressants, and video games. These kids are basically all playing video games. Now you throw on this voice of God, And how many times have you thought something and then an ad comes up on your Facebook or your phone or all that? I know you don't necessarily have a phone, right?
Like, I've never owned a cell phone.
You've never owned a cell phone. You're like, yeah, you're such an interesting person. I love it so much. But you hear people over and over again that they just think something and it pops up on
I've heard
the
about
screen.
That. I've heard about that. That's interesting, yeah.
Right now, Facebook, this is an article. When's this article come out? I'm trying to see when the article came out. It doesn't quite say. Oh, April 2017. Facebook has 60 people working on how to read your mind. That was 2 years ago almost.
Yeah, I've heard about that where you, you know, order something or you say something and, well, it listens to what you say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I can believe that.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you can see stuff, you can remote view.
That.
Why can't your cell phone basically do that?
But, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in the world and stuff. And all that really matters to me is just, you know, stuff right in front of me, you know.
Right. Like, well, that's exactly what you could do. People always go to me, Sam, why are you acting so crazy? Well, you know, you're into these conspiracy theories. Like, doesn't it drive you nuts? Doesn't it make you, you know, lose your mind? I go, no, because I'm not trying to change any of it. The only thing I think I could change is what's in front of me. How I treat people. You know, I got this new thing where I try to do three nice things for strangers without any expecting any, you know, them doing anything for me. And that's kind of how I operate. I don't want any reciprocation. I just want to do it for and to help people. Like, I, you know, push someone's car. I did that the other day. I bought this homeless guy, you know, lunch at McDonald's when everybody was ignoring him, you know. Say something nice to somebody, cheers him up. Like, that's kind of how I operate. So I control what's in front of me and not like, you know, not try to think I gotta take down this and take down that. I just enjoy talking about it on this show.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? I loved it, dude. I love this. Aaron, what is your thoughts on this whole thing?
On clairvoyance?
Yeah.
Or on...
Yeah, are you into clairvoyance?
No.
Nothing at all. You don't believe in ESP?
It'd be nice, but I don't think... Like Brent, it's like...
Are you telling Brent he's cool. A liar? Because he says he can remote view. You're calling him a liar?
You know, I've had interesting results, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it would be very interesting. But do I think people actually can?
And by the way, I think all of it's fun to listen, you know, talk about, and fun to think about, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's just like, I just go off of, you know, what's in front of me, you know? Like, I just go off of, you know... My interactions with the people.
I get it.
But I mean, it's fun to think about. It's fun to,
it's okay,
you know.
Okay, dude. You have a power and you're afraid of it. That's all. That's all it is, man.
You can have anybody.
Power corrupts.
This power corrupts. The power that I have, everybody has this power. Just by the way, you know, and if anybody wants to exercise that power, you can do it too.
I think you're not giving yourself enough credit for being such a great sidekick.
I honestly do not have any special power. If there is any power, it's something that anybody can exercise, and you do have to have. I mean, I'm just saying, if this is a real thing, you have to have a disciplined mind to not, have to train yourself to not think, you know, which is a very kind of meditative idea, I think, you know,
for sure.
Like the idea of just not thinking, I think that's actually one kind of thing that is kind of neat about remote viewing is the idea of training yourself to not. You know, just to not think, you know, because we're always thinking all the time.
Right,
I mean, I'm always thinking, you know, people are, especially comedians, you know, they're super neurotic, right?
For sure.
But to be in a mental state where you're just not thinking at all, you're just have a completely clear head. I mean, that's what meditation is.
I love meditation.
And that's kind of neat, you know, that remote viewing, legitimate or not, is this. Also, this sort of practice of meditation, basically. You know?
I love meditation. It's almost like in Star Trek, you know, when they go warp speed and you just see all the lights go. That's how it is when I get started in meditation. My mind's going crazy, and then I just hit that moment, and it just and you know when the Enterprise stops and it's just stillness.
Yeah, you know, I can relate to this. I don't meditate, you know, but when I'm trying to fall asleep, I start to just focus on, you know, how when your eyes are closed, you see stuff,
right,
you know, you just sort of see weird things.
Yeah.
I just sort of start to focus on those things, these abstract, you know, dots and whatever, you know, the abstract visuals that you see when you close your eyes. You focus on that, and then that starts to take over, and before I know it, I'm certainly not thinking about anything real anymore. I'm only just seeing abstract things, and before I know it, I'm asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. I mean, some people have to masturbate to go to sleep. You do that, Aaron, when you just can't sleep? You got to tug one off when your old lady's snoring? All right.
No.
Weinbach, one more time. Tell them where they can find all your stuff.
Okay. Amazon Prime. Please check out the special.
Dude,
appealing to the mainstream.
Listen, I've had other people on this show, and I always tell you, and they're all wonderful. I can guarantee you this. You watch this guy's special. It is well worth it. You will be so entertained. He is literally one of my favorite comics to watch, and I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed by watching this guy. He is so unique, and it's like such an honor. Like, I always enjoy gigging with you. I don't like following you, but I like to gig with you. And you guys got to check it out. What's the name of it again?
Appealing to the Mainstream, you know? So, yeah, thank you. And it's, you know, it's if you have Amazon Prime, it's free. You can watch it for free on Amazon Prime. There's the dates on the East Coast coming up, October 11th through the 14th. And you can see those dates and find ticket links on various social media things and of mine, you know, just go, search my name, Brent Weinbach. Just Brent Weinbach. You search for it, you'll find everything, you know. But yeah, you know, those are the things to check out, you know. Yeah.
Well, guys, I want to say thank you so much. I'm sorry I stumbled with some of my reading and my words. I had a lot going on today. I'm trying the best I can to put out the best show I can. I hope you guys enjoy it. The show is a process. It's only going to get better. I have more and more. I'm going to be bringing in some people to work with me on some stuff.
You got to try some remote viewing.
Dude.
You should do it on the show, maybe.
We'll try it.
Do it on the show. Yeah, have a session on the show. I'll come back. I'll set a target up for you. Learn how to do it online. We'll do a session live.
I'm in.
I just realized that's something you should do, especially if you already have, if you feel you have a tendency towards this kind of, these kind of things, premonitions and things.
I love it, dude. I love it. Thank you, Weinbach. You're the best. Thank you, Aaron. We'll see you guys all soon. Take care.